at 9:39. I'm excited to speak to our next guest. As you know, all morning we've been remembering the late, great Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who died yesterday, just about this time, 24 hours ago, pancreatic cancer at the age of 76.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired.
Great Kennedy Center Honors performance, song written by Carole King, and thrilled to be joined by author Mark Bego, who wrote the book Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And obviously, my first question is, was it an authorized biography, and did you spend a lot of time with her?
Yes and no. It was not an authorized biography. It was about, but I did spend time with her. Actually, I met her in 1985 at her house in suburban Detroit, and I spent about 2.5-3 hours with her doing a radio broadcast for the old company Westwood One Radio.
Sure.
And I had her all to myself on her sofa for about 3 hours.
Mm. And What?
It was an amazing,
yeah,
amazing
stuck out?
Experience.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being in Aretha Franklin's house. I mean, sitting next to Aretha Franklin on her sofa, no one else in the room. It was an amazing experience that I'll never forget. We talked about all sorts of things about her music. Actually, I was sent to her house to do this interview, and I was given a list of things I could not talk about.
Really?
Her sons, her father, her childhood, her smoking, her weight, everything but her music. So she was the Queen of Soul, so she had it her way.
But she didn't, was that just in general that she didn't want people knowing about her personally?
Those were stipulations to get an interview with Aretha. Hmm. And getting interviews with Aretha was very, very rare. It was for an inner circle. What happened was the interviewer who was going to do it ended up with the flu, and her publicist said, no way you're getting near Aretha. So they sent me because I just happened to be about 5 miles away in suburban Detroit. So it was really quite an honor. In fact, one of the things that I spoke to her about was I asked her if she would be interested in doing a book about her life, because there really hadn't been one at that time. And she said, no, I have absolutely no interest in that.
Yeah.
So what I did was I ended up with a book publishing deal. And this was 1989, and I did the first version of this book for St. Martin's Press. And what I did find I had access to were all these wonderful people who were important figures in her life. Clyde Otis, who produced her at Columbia Records in the 60s, Jerry Wexler, who produced her really fabulous streak of hits, starting with Respect in the 60s into the 70s, and Clive Davis, who revamped her entire career in the 80s and gave her all those great hits like Freeway of Love, Jump to It, all those wonderful things. So I had a really nice balanced picture of what the Queen of Soul was like.
Mark, I mean, it's a fascinating story. I mean, starting with her modest beginnings, 14 years old, singing in her father's church. I think she had two kids at the time. How does somebody in that situation become the diva, the Queen of Soul?
Well, you know, it's amazing that you mentioned that. She did have two children by the time she was, I think, was 15. And this was something, it set up a pattern with her. I mean, she had a glorious, very upfront role at her father's church, as you said, but she also kind of had a very guarded personal life. She felt all her life that she was taken advantage of by the men in her life. She would never speak about who was the father of those first two children. Her father was very domineering in her life. She got married so that she would have her own private life, and she married a man who physically abused her. So by the time she got to Atlantic Records in 1967, she really knew how to sing the blues. But I really want to tell you, a lot of people dismiss the material she did at Columbia Records. They were trying to make her into more of an Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan kind of jazz singer. And the recordings are amazing she did there. They just weren't commercial for the time. Then when she got to Atlantic, Jerry Wexler had said to me, once I sat Aretha down at her piano and let her sing and accompany herself, her soul opened up.
And we're on with author Mark Bigo, who wrote the book Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Obviously, we got the feeling, and you're giving us the feelings, intensely private. As great as she was publicly, intensely private. But I love the stories that have circulated about the purse that she always carries with her.
Oh, yeah, she would never get on stage without her purse. That is an old show business thing. You either pay me in full before I go on stage in cash, or I'm not getting on stage. And that's what was in the purse.
Yeah, sure.
Is there anything you can attribute her longevity to? Because she kind of changed with the times, but there's always just that beautiful voice. Man, what led to her success over such a long period of time?
I think that she really had just an incredible voice that she nurtured. I mean, even though she was a chain smoker much of her life, I mean, that interview I did with her in 1985, she was constantly, Mark, can you turn the tape off? I'll need a cigarette.
Wow.
So it was an interesting thing. It always amazes me that some of these people whose livelihood is based on their voice were chain smokers. I mean, it's kind of a self-destructive thing, but you know, it was common in the 50s and 60s to smoke cigarettes, and before they knew what horrible health problems it caused, and she was kind of caught up in that. It relaxed her, so it was quite an interesting experience to meet her. But as you asked me, how did she endure? Well, she was so well respected in the business that people were always seeking out the new Aretha Franklin album. Where would she go? Who would she sing with? She chose to sing with, of course, George Michael, Whitney Houston, Elton John, the Four Tops. She would constantly align herself with whoever was hot in the music business. So it's interesting to see that her final album found her covering Adele songs. I mean, that's, she constantly brought herself up.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Mark, pleasure, really. Thanks for coming on. I want to tell the listeners that if you go to markbego.com, that's markbego.com, you can see all of his books. He's written 62, mostly showbiz, people like Cher and Michael Jackson, of course, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The new edition of the book will be out next week.
Wow. Now, were you working on it anyway, or
I had it already. I had, and then on Sunday when I got the news about Aretha's health, I really jumped to gear and put it together, and Skyhorse Publishing has it at the press as of yesterday, and it'll be in the stores next week. So that is going to be my tribute to the great Aretha Franklin.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we'll have the worst fake kidnapping story you will ever hear in your life.